Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us again on the Exploring Mining podcast. Today's interview is with Chris Timmins, President and CEO of Pegasus Resources. Pegasus Resources trades on the TSX Venture under the symbol PEGA. Pegasus Resources is a diversified junior mineral exploration company with a focus on uranium and gold properties in North America. In this podcast, we talk about the latest results from the Energy Sands project and why they are exciting. The Energy Sands project is 100% owned with 78 load claims covering over 1,500 acres in the San Rafael Uranium District of Utah, approximately 4 kilometers from the San Rafael Uranium Project of Western Uranium and Vanadium. Chris also speaks about new board members, milestones achieved since becoming the CEO of Pegasus in 2023, future drill programs for both Energy Sands and their Pine Channel project in Athabasca Basin. For additional information, you can check out more at the company's website at PegasusResourcesInc.com. This podcast may contain forward-looking statements. Investors are reminded to do their own due diligence and read all disclaimers and disclosures at the end of the show. Chris, thanks for joining us on the show today. For investors new to the story, tell us about Pegasus Resources and how you got involved.
Hi, Callie. Thanks for having me today. Pegasus Resources is a uranium-focused exploration company. We have two main projects, one in the Athabasca Basin and our other ones in Utah. Emery County in Utah. So our main focus is finding uranium. And I got involved in the company back in 2023 when I took over as CEO and president. And I was brought on by investors to advance our projects. And that's kind of what I'm here doing now.
So let's just get right into it. You had very exciting news this week for some of your assay results. Talk to us about the extremely encouraging samples that you found.
Yeah, well, we did a program in January on our Energy Sands project in Utah. We had some really good results, preliminary results. So what we did is we sent our crew down there. We hired Drew's Geologic. They went down, they did 12, 13 days on the property, walking around, and we used an RS-125 spectrometer. So basically, it's just a handheld device that goes around and kind of gives you an idea what your uranium readings are like. So we use this device to select some samples with the idea of if we can see where the higher grade uranium is on the property, it'll help us dial in our drilling targets when it comes time to drill the property. So we sent the guys out, they went around and collected a bunch of samples, and we had some really extraordinary results. We were expecting, you know, some 1 or 2%, but we actually came back with an 18.87% result. Very encouraging assay, kind of unheard of in the area, actually. I haven't seen anyone with such a high sample number yet. I'm sure someone out there has one and they'll tell me I'm wrong, but if they do, please let me know. I'd love to see it. but honestly, it was very exciting. We're going to take these results, very encouraging results, and we're going to go take the next step, and that's going to be to apply for the permitting and get the ball rolling on getting this project into the drill-ready status and hopefully drill it this summer.
Can you talk to us about some of your neighbors that are close by for your Utah property and what the mineralization typically is out there, and then obviously some of the road access as well?
So our big neighbor is Western Uranium Vanadium. So Western Uranium's just up the road by a mile or two from us. We are a long trend of them. So that's kind of why we staked this land in the first place, is that it was open and it is a long trend. Western Uranium's got 4 to 5 million pounds of uranium sitting up on their property just to the northeast of us. So that is exactly why we staked in this area. We saw the potential here to follow a long trend. And, you know, we think there's a resource on this property. And as far as the infrastructure goes, it's great. Western Uranium's talking about building a mill just up the road from us. That's going to be 6 miles away at Green River. And they plan to have that mill started and brought into production sometime around 2026, 2027. And they've stated publicly that they'll be accepting ore from anyone in the area who might have ore available. They will process it for them. So very encouraging as far as milling in the area. Also, you have to remember that there is two other mills in the southern part of Utah as well. So Utah is probably going to be one of the best areas as far as getting milling agreements happening in all of the United States. And the property itself has great infrastructure. Water is nearby, power is nearby. We're just off of a main highway, and the property itself is crisscrossed with 4x4 roads and other trails. So while the guys were actually down doing the mapping and sampling program in January, we had them scout out all these roads. So we actually have already all the preliminary data we need to place any of the drill pads we want. So we know where the roads are. We know now where the good high-grade uranium is sitting on surface. So we're just going to take all that information and put it into a drill permit. And like I said earlier, we want to try and drill this summer.
And you have 78 claims on that property, is that correct? And then can you also just talk to us about where you found your very encouraging results on the property?
So yeah, we do have, we have 78 claims down there, and that gives us around 1,500 and so acres of land. The really high encouraging results we saw were actually along the western edge of the property. So what we have going on the western edge is a lot of the mineralization actually comes to surface. So what you find in Utah is a lot of the salty wash and stuff like that, the formations that actually hold your uranium, they tend to be buried underground, so the overburden sitting on top of them. But in this area here, there's actually a lot of that stuff's coming to surface. So it was a chance for us to kind of get in there and see what we might see when we start to drill. So that's another reason why it was nice to do these surface samples. It shows us that this area over here is really, you know, showing lots of activity as far as uranium mineralization goes. So it gave us a chance that we can focus in on this area with our early stuff. And then, of course, doesn't mean we don't have uranium on the rest of the property. It just means that it's buried under the overburden. So it's going to take some different exploration techniques and drilling to really see what's hidden underneath that overburden on that side of the property.
And this is BLM land, correct? So permits are typically about, what, 30, 45 days that we're looking at?
Yeah, we're 100% on the BLM land, so we don't have any foresty land on the property. And it's usually about 4 to 6 weeks to get a response back from your permit application. So we're hoping to have the permit handed in sometime in the first half of April. So, you know, we'd be looking around end of May probably for the permit to come back.
Very exciting. And can you talk to us, do you have some of your targets planned for your drilling program, assuming your permits come back in place in the next few weeks? How many holes are you planning?
Sure. We do, like I said, like I mentioned earlier, when we were out doing the walking program here, the ground program, we did scout out all some potential drill targets. And of course, the results are coming back and we're going to take that data to really tighten up where we want to drill. We're looking to do around 10 to 15 holes, probably about 1,000 to 1,500 meters of drilling is kind of what we're looking at doing. So that's kind of where what our plan is right now. But that might change, of course, as we just get a little more into the planning of the drilling. But that's where we're looking at this point. And that budget for that would be around $500,000 for a 10 to 15 hole program, depending on how many meters we drill.
Well, you're making my job easy because that was my next question. With your warrants, is that still a possibility, you know, as the markets seem to be a little better this year, that would cover a lot of the funding for your drill program this summer?
So what we have been seeing is we've got some 12-cent warrants from our raise we did in 2023. They have been coming into the market. Off the top of my head, I think we've had about 2 million warrants from at the 12-cent level come into the market. So it has been a bit of a drag on the share price, of course. But at the other side of it, it has been putting money back into the company's pocket here that we can use to advance our project. So a little drag on the share price, just so everyone knows, there was about 3.7 million warrants issued at 12 cents. A million of those are belonging to insiders and friends and family. So there's really not many of those 12-cent warrants left to come into the market, assuming that they do keep coming in. But they have been getting exercised, and it has been a bit of a drag. Further to your question, now we do have a bunch of 20 cents. Obviously, they're not really in the money at this point. But in the future, if the share price gets up and there's liquidity there, I could see them coming into the market and helping fund us again through some warrant exercising. So right now, we're just looking at cleaning up what's left of the 12 cents, assuming they come into the market. in the future, we'll have some 20-cent ones. But again, we'll probably have to see the share price a lot higher before people would be encouraged to exercise those warrants.
I wanted to switch topics a little bit, and let's talk about your Athabasca project, Pine Channel. Can you talk to us about what you got started last year? I know with the weather, drilling programs were postponed, but what's been going on there?
So what we have, Pine Channel, this is actually a past drilled property. So we're basically going to be building off of the historical drilling done by Denison Mines back in the 1970s and early 80s. They had drilled 12 holes on the property, and seven of those came back with anomalous uranium readings, with the highest being 0.15% uranium. So very encouraging results. So we are going to do a summer program up here. It'll probably just a gravity survey once the snow is cleared up and we can get it booked. We'll go in and we'll do a gravity survey, which will then build off, of course, the information we got from the Denison drilling, and then, of course, our radon survey and some other geophysics that we've collected from past historical workings on the property. So this Pine Channel property is actually pretty advanced. So it's, for us, it's just really to keep building off of the historical works that have been done here. We are looking, again, like I said, we're going to do a summer program, use that data. We do have an active drill permit. If we need to extend that permit going into 2025, we will do that through the summer. And then we'll be ready again to go up here and drill next winter in Pine Channel in the Athabasca Basin. So we'd be looking at probably a February, March, April drill program in 2025 for Pine Channel. And of course, we're going to continue to keep working our flagship property, Energy Sands, for all this.
Can you talk to us about some of the anomalies that you saw from your radon survey and then some of your past historicals that you've seen from Denison?
Yeah, with Denison, they just saw a lot of anomalous numbers. So, of course, they're not really like something that you'd want to throw into a resource. So out of those seven numbers, a lot of them were like 0.03, 0.02, those are 0.06. So not really big numbers. But what those numbers tell us is that there is the potential for a bigger deposit in the area. This uranium is there. Is this, where is the big deposit that's probably feeding into this stuff? So when everything gets fluidized and movement around, of course, when these uranium deposits are getting formed. So we're seeing all the traces that there is something here. So that's really what we're going to do with this. Again, we did the radon survey, which actually lined up very well with what Denison did with their drilling. So Denison was in the right area according to what we're seeing with this radon survey. So we think we've got something here. It's just a matter of getting in and drilling it out and really seeing if we can find where the deposit's sitting on the property.
Well, you have two very exciting properties. And for your Athabasca project, you have the flow-through funds for Pine Channel that you can use towards that?
That's right, yeah. Our summer program will be fully funded for the Pine Channel project. But again, when it comes time to drill, we'll have to go out and raise some more money. Drilling up there for the proposed plan we're looking to do 10 drill holes, 1,500 meters, and that'll come in, based on this year's numbers, around $1 million to do that program. So again, we'll have to go back to the market to fund that project.
And can you talk to us right now about your share structure? How many shares are out right now, and what are investors looking at?
What we have out right now is around 21 million shares on an outstanding basis. We've got about 7 million in warrants and about 1.6 in options. So that gives us a fully diluted of around 31 million. And that's kind of where, anyone's been watching, they'll notice that when we closed our private placement, we had like 19 million shares and change outstanding. And of course, now when you go in and look, we're up to like 21.3 million shares. So anyone who's paying attention to those numbers will slowly see that number creep up. And that's just the warrants coming into the market. So you'll see the shares outstanding increase as these warrants come in. So anyone who wants to track it, that's the way you do it.
Very clean for a lot of mining juniors out there. So well done on that. You've been making lots of moves this year. You have some great new team additions to your board. Derek is obviously well-known in the mining space. Can you just talk to us about your new board additions and what that means going forward for you?
Well, I came on, of course, as the new CEO here in February of 2023. And since then, of course, we've kind of righted the ship, as they say, and been really working our properties and out there engaging with all our investors and, of course, working our land. And because of that, we've actually managed to attract some very nice additions to our board. Derek Strickland, he's got 35 years in the mining industry. He is a PGO engineer, very versed in uranium and very versed in regulatory, and overall, he's just been there, done that. He was a director of PDAC at one point. He was also part of the Association for Mineral Exploration in BC, so the AME. Really, Derek's a great addition to our team, and he's going to help us really make some good choices and, you know, do the right thing going down the road here and present all our information in a proper form as well, which is really good. And then we also added Mike Magrum. He's an engineer. Mike's actually 50 years in the mining industry with a particular focus on uranium. He was actually part of a company that called Exemplar Energy. He was the chief operating officer for them, and they made a significant uranium discovery here in Namibia. And at one point, that company peaked out at an excess of $1 billion. So Mike's had some serious success in his past. And again, another gentleman that's well-versed in uranium, and that goes in the Athabasca Basin, Africa, and in the USA. So attracting these two gentlemen has been really great. Obviously, having all this knowledge on board's really going to help advance the company and, you know, just help us make good decisions when it comes to what we're going to do with our projects and any additions that we might make in the future to grow the company. Having this knowledge base to sit down and go through any land packages we want to look at just gives us a real leg up here. And honestly, I challenge anyone to find a junior with our market cap and a board as strong as we have.
I agree. I mean, I've been a big fan for a long time of Pegasus, so it's exciting to see. I wanted to just switch gears again. You have those gold properties in BC, and obviously gold's a hot topic this year. What are your plans with those so far? I know you did a little bit of work on them. Still the plan for JV or a spin-out? Or
both of those are options here. What we have is, like, this is a great little property. It's actually got copper, gold, base metals, silver. So it's three land packages over in BC. Our Gold Mountain one is the one we're really focused on right now, just because of that gold potential that you were talking about. What we're going to do is we are going to look at putting a permit together for the BC property. One thing about permitting in BC right now, it's kind of a gray area. We're not sure how long it's going to take. Like, we could apply for a permit and we can get it in 2 months, or it might take a year or more. So we are going to get the ball rolling on getting a permit issued for that property. However long it takes, we'll get it going. We do have the properties in good standing now until fall of 2025. So if we don't work them this year, we're not too worried about it. They're in good standing. We've done the work needed to keep all the fees up to date and everything there. So we might not work it this summer. But that said, it's a great property. We've had some really encouraging results come off of it. And at some point, we will JV it or option or spin it out. I'm kind of leaning towards a spin out because, you know, I'm a large shareholder of the company. So obviously, I'd like to keep part of that in my pocket as well as inside the company itself. So it's a great project. We will keep it moving forward. Eventually, we will drill Gold Mountain, in my opinion. And it's just a matter of waiting and seeing how it works out. Again, it's not a priority for us. Probably more of a 2025 story, to be honest.
I was going to ask one more on a personal question. You used to be in the oil and gas space. What made you switch over to the uranium sector, and why do you like that space so much?
Honestly, it was kind of just happened. I was a large investor in Pegasus Resources. Really, it was just a career change. Like, I just took a chance, honestly. I was just like, I want to try something different. This opportunity came up, and it really sounded interesting to me. I mean, I've been involved in investing here pretty serious since about 2018 in the junior markets, specifically mining. So when this opportunity came up, I just figured I had to try and do it. And of course, I have a lot of money invested in this company. So who would I rather trust that money to? Well, me, I guess. And as you can see, I'm trying to put the right team together so that, you know, I can make all the right decisions for all investors involved. So I think it's been really exciting, honestly, Callie. I've been loving the whole experience. It's been great talking to all the investors, meeting with brokers and family offices, talking with all the interviewers and stuff. I mean, I've been having a great time. So it's been a great experience so far. And obviously, uranium's a hot sector. So I couldn't be a luckier gentleman than to be, you know, running a uranium exploration company and probably one of the biggest bull markets for uranium's ever seen.
For sure. I feel like starting off as a CEO in 2023 is a little bit of a trial by fire, but
definitely. Hard work, but, Callie. Just grind. Pick up that phone every day and do whatever you need to do to talk to people. That's really what we're doing. We're just out talking to everyone because it's a great story, but it's not going to tell itself. It needs someone out there letting everyone know what's going on and, of course, cracking the whip to get the projects moving forward and showing the results. And as you've said earlier, the results we've been getting back have been pretty amazing. So I'm ecstatic.
You can hear it in your voice. And then, you know, that's a good thing to hear from a CEO. For 2024, obviously, there's a lot of exciting things going forward. Talk to us about what you feel could possibly be some of the challenges. And then obviously you have some great results. So I definitely see some positives there as well.
Well, I think I've got the same challenges as everyone in the junior markets right now, and that's really just raising capital and keeping your investors engaged. Everyone's very shy about investing right now, and that's not a secret. Everyone says the same thing, and thankfully, again, we're in uranium, which actually has been doing a lot better on the fundraising side. So really, that's the biggest struggle going forward as far as being a junior right now, is just really getting the capital in to move your projects forward. But again, we're in uranium, so that's been one of the highlights of investing. A lot of people are still willing to give us some money, so we're just going to keep doing our thing. As far as what we're looking forward to drilling energy sands, I think there's a resource here. And if you can take a company with under a $4 million market cap and start drilling a resource for uranium, I think that'll be a real eye-opener for people, and I think we should get a reprice off that. So I think really it's just we want to drill energy sands, show there's a resource there. And then for 2025, we'll be in Pine Channel, and we think there's something there too. So we've got a few things on the go. And as far as uranium in general, I think it only gets better from here. The demand just keeps going up and the supply just keeps lagging. So I think it's an exciting place to be. And I think we see uranium prices continue to go up through the next few years. And I don't think we see this demand supply problem fixed till at least into the 2030s.
I'm personally a big believer in the U.S. project for uranium. I know I shouldn't say that as a Canadian, but I personally think those properties are going to have some great results. So I'm really looking forward to the next couple months and what you guys find.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting 2024, 2025. So check us out here at Pegasus Resources and reach out, join our emailing list so you can stay up to date on our news.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much for the interview, Chris, and I hope everyone goes and checks out Pegasus Resources.
Thanks, Callie. Have a great day.
Well, that does it for today's Exploring Mining podcast. If you'd like to be a guest or sponsor for this podcast, please contact investorideas.com. Investorideas.com reminds all listeners to read our disclaimers and disclosures on the investorideas.com website. All investment involves risk, and this podcast is not meant to be an endorsement to buy or sell securities or products. To hear more podcasts, you can go to investorideas.com/audio. And a reminder, you can also hear our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, iHeart.com, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, and SoundCloud.
For disclosure purposes, Pegasus Resources is a featured paid-for client of Investor Ideas and sponsor of the Exploring Mining podcast.